call the doctor.
Well, I'm right back here. This is Dr. Charles Fay. And, you know, I was not paying attention. And I heard that music winding down. I thought, doggone, I'm on the radio. I better get my act together. Oh, well, talking about
Welcome
ADHD.
To my world.
For those of you who don't know, co-host Monica is my wife. That poor thing. Bless her
Hello,
heart.
Is this thing on?
Okay. Hello. All right. Well, let's get serious here. We're back here with Julie, and we're talking about her 10-year-old son who has developed the habit of kind of being passive resistant. And Julie, you said when you ask him to do things, he just a lot of times he'll ignore you, argue a little bit, and then just won't do them.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not alone with that. Oh, that's a struggle that all sorts of parents are dealing with now. And so we're talking about a process for teaching our kids how to listen the first time. And it's a three-part process, A, B, C. A stands for we're going to ask the kid to do something that we're pretty sure they're not going to do. And we're going to kind of hope that they get resistant. And Julie, what do we say to the kid when the kid says, I'm not doing that. That's woman's work. Let's hear it, Julie. You know the answer.
No problem. I love you too much to fight about it. If it doesn't get done, I'll take care of it.
Oh, that
Golly.
Is so good. And
Perfect.
Then, and then we're going to go down to the next step, which is B, and that stands for be quiet. And we're going to bite our tongues. We're going to just, we're going to want to nag, and we're going to want to remind. But really what this kid needs to do is blow it. So really down deep, we're going to hope and pray that what are they going to do? They are going to
blow it.
Yeah, and they're not.
But does that mean if I'm quiet, I can pace in front of him, though, and like look at my watch and go,
No,
that's not being quiet. That's being being loud without any volume. And I was meaning to talk with you about that anyway. But okay, so what's going to happen is we are going to step back and we're going to see the kid blow it. And, you know, Julie, this is, you know, of course we don't do this on dangerous issues and all that. But, you know, you'd ask the kid to do the chore and he doesn't do it. Who should do the chore?
He should.
Yeah, he should, but who can?
Well, I do.
Go ahead and
or
do
the
his
brother.
Chore. Yeah, or his brother, or the neighbor kid, or let's say he doesn't come to the dinner table, right? Or let's say he doesn't get dressed on time. You know, and what do we do then? Here comes the C part. The C stands for consequences, and empathy will do the teaching. So let's say that you ask him, you say, sweetheart, would really love to have you at the table. It's dinner time. Thank you. And you welcome him to the table and he just, I'll be there in the middle of my show. You're going to say, hey, no problem. Love you too much to fight with you about this. If you don't get here by such and such a time, I'll just take care of this. Not a problem. Now, let's say he meanders over to the table now and about 15 minutes has gone by.
Okay.
Everybody's pretty sad for him. Where's my plate? Oh, gosh. Yeah, see, the sad thing about this family is we tend to be a little ravenous. And if you don't get to the table on time, you might miss out. But here's the good news, right? Yeah, breakfast is served in only 8 hours. Hang in there.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And there's notice that now he's going to be hopping mad. Right?
Yeah.
And he's going to say, but that's not fair. And you're going to say, I know. And he's going to say, but I'm calling social services. And you might even say, well, here's the number. And by the way, if you think your kid's going to call social services, call ahead and let them know about it. So you can just say to the kid, well, I already called them. And they said, as long as there's healthy food in the refrigerator, like a Spam and apples and bananas and stuff like that, the kid can eat in between meals, then that'll be fine. Now, some kids tend to get into the refrigerator and take stuff out that they shouldn't or out of the cupboards.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can handle it this way. You can just say to them, listen, the food that you serve during meals is free. And the food that you steal in between meals, we charge for. Now, we're not trying to make a profit on it. We just charge cost on that. Okay. So the C part of this is we do something. There's some sort of meaningful, logical consequence, and it's delivered with empathy without any nagging. So let's go to a chore situation. And you ask him to do something. Let's say it's rake the yard or shovel the walk, and he just blows you off. Okay, now somebody else does it in the family. Let's say you do it, Julie.
Yeah.
And but you've thought you have enough time to think about this because you're not trying to do all this immediately. In fact, you can let a week go by, and let's say that 5 days go by. And he still thinks he's gotten away with this. And he comes to you and he says, Mom, will you take me over to Ralph's house? And this is where the empathy gets locked in. It sounds like this. Oh, no. Oh, this is sad. See, I asked you the other day to shovel a walk and you ignored me. Yeah, well, I just forgot. I forgot to take my medication. You know, a lot of times kids will say that. And you can be real empathetic. You say, oh, I know. And here's the sad part. I do things for people, you know, the extra things for people, when I feel respected. And I feel respected when they listen to what I ask them to do. End of story. Now he's going to be mad. He's going to argue. And what are you going to say back? Love you too much to argue. Or, I know. Julie, what are your thoughts on what's going to happen when you do this?
Well, you know, depending on how angry he is about it, he may do things that are really tough to deal with.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, he may start throwing things at me,
mm-hmm.
or he may use some words that I don't like to hear,
mm-hmm.
Or I may send him to his room and say, you can talk that way by yourself if you want to. And he'll, you know, start kicking things.
Okay. So what would happen if he threw stuff at you? What's your plan for that?
I just kind of move him out of the situation as fast as possible and get him in his room and, hope that he doesn't destroy it.
This is a good lesson for everybody. Great parents always ask themselves what might go wrong when they use one of these techniques. And some kids get outraged and they can get aggressive or destructive or violent. Now, let's say that a kid just starts swearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just, you know, and I say just because they're not throwing anything. How do we handle that? Well, in the short term, we say to the kid, I'm going to have to do something about that, but not now. Later. Mm-hmm. And you disengage from the kid to your best of your ability. I know some parents go in the bathroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually knew a mother who had a kid who did that so often. You know what she did? She actually set up a strategic training session ahead of time with her friend. And the kid lost it. I mean, this kid just went bananas. And what this mother did was she had it all planned out. She got on her cell phone and she called her friend, and the friend came by about 5 minutes later. Now, how come the friend was able to come so quickly? Because the mom had it all planned out. She actually decided to break the bad news to this kid about a consequence at the perfect time so her friend would be available. And from time to time, we do things like that so our kids can see us handling things really, really easy. And the friend shows up, and you know what mom said to the kid? She said, I love you too much to argue with you about this, right? But my friend doesn't love you. And so she's going to stay with you. And she's going to argue with you, and I'm going to go to the mall. And this kid had to pay the friend to watch him. And actually, he left the house. He refused to stay, and the friend just went in the room and found a Nintendo and used that as payment. Now, none of this will work if, okay, number one, we don't plug those holes ahead of time. So, again, Julie, I encourage you to think through this and ask yourself, what might go wrong? How is this kid going to react? And then take some time. You know, if it's okay to let a kid think they've gotten away with something for a while, especially a 10-year-old, if that gives you plenty of time to figure out what you're going to do. So let's look at another scenario. And let's say that I asked the kid to get ready on time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say I'm having to leave and I'm in a hurry. And I'm thinking through this with my friends. And they say, Well, what are you going to do? And you say, well, I'm just going to get in the car and I'm going to leave. And then one of your friends says, well, you can't leave a kid that age alone, unsupervised. And you say, oh, darn. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, well, what could I do? Well, I could probably come by the house sometime, but I could only come on Tuesdays. Tuesday morning, that's the only day I could do it. Oh, okay, so maybe I ought to start this on Tuesday morning, right? Okay, so now I've got it figured out so far where I'm going to say to the kid, I'd really like you to be ready by such and such a time, right? And then I'm going to keep my mouth shut, and then I'm going to get in the car at that precise moment and start driving. Who needs to show up right then,
friend,
and there?
Yeah.
The friend, okay? But I still haven't had it planned out well enough, because what happens if the kid starts trashing the house? What would I do then? We'll be right back. We're going to talk about some more of these issues with Julie. Hang on, folks.